So I'm using Colossians as the main text. I have borrowed this message from Charles Stanley. How many of you know Charles Stanley? He's a good man. I borrowed this from him. I can't take no credit at all for it. He titled it Overflowing with Gratitude. I gave it a little bit different slant. I thought gratitude determines your attitude. I sort of like that one better. Gratitude determines your attitude. You like being around people that have a nice attitude, always grateful, always thankful, always encouraging you, always saying nice, positive things. Isn't it nice to be around people like that? You ever been around anybody that's opposite of that, you'll know what I'm talking about. You can't get out of their presence fast enough. It's almost like a negative charge. It almost pulls what little positivity you have. It seems like it's a negative charge. It pulls on you. I believe a thankful person acknowledges God as the source of every provision and blessing. And certainly as believers, gratitude should overflow. And of course, where he got the word overflowing was from the word in the King James was what? Abounding. The word that we're playing on, overflowing, is abounding. What? Anybody give me an idea what you think abounding means? Just holler it out. What's abounding? Well, we have one word, it's overflowing. What's another way to describe abounding? You have a lot. Now, I like that. Overabundance. Any more want to get in on it? Infinite. A cup full. Running over, maybe. A cup that's running over. Now you got the idea. That's what I was after. That's how Christians and believers should be. They should be overflowing. Overflowing with it. I've told you time and time before that Christians can't do anything that God can't fix. You tell me a mistake that you can make that God can't fix. You can't come up with any. Isn't that wonderful? Christians should be the happiest people on the face of this earth because you can't make a mistake that God can't help you fix it. And boy, through the years, we've all made wrong choices and made mistakes, haven't we? And aren't you glad that God makes good come out of it? He makes good come out of it. Wow. He don't hold it to my account that I made a wrong choice. He just forgives me and helps me to go along for the next choice. Over and above. You should be overflowing. You should be full of thanksgiving. This isn't just one day a week, one day a year. It's every day for Christians. Should be thanksgiving every day. In the Old Testament, the Lord desired gratitude from his people. Of course, they didn't have the Bible as we have today, but he used the sacrificial system of worship. He wanted to teach them. He was a sovereign God, but he was a source of every good thing. And so they had to learn to express their gratitude by bringing him offerings. In the Old Testament, they brought him offerings. So we have the first sin of ingratitude actually began where? In the Garden of Eden. When Adam and Eve decided that what God had given them wasn't enough. Can you imagine? He provided a perfect environment. I would have loved to have seen that place. He provided a perfect environment with an abundance of fruit from every tree except one. But they weren't satisfied. They crossed the line and disobeyed God. But I can tell you that Adam and Eve are not alone in this sin. Anytime we don't appreciate what the Lord has given us or want something that is outside his will, we also express ingratitude by not being satisfied. Paul put it this way, be content in some things. I see you. I'm just checking to see if you're still with me. You know you can leave the church without leaving your pew, but I want you to be here, right here. Right here is where I want you. Paying attention and listening. I've learned to be content in all things. And I know sometimes it's hard to do that. But Paul said, learn to be content in all things. Everything, be content. Be satisfied. It's okay. It's all right. But it's hard sometimes. But he wants us to learn that. The key to overflowing gratitude. Our thanksgiving begins as soon as we acknowledge that Christ alone is responsible for our salvation. He is responsible for our salvation. Aren't you glad to be saved today? If you're listening today by way of internet, I hope that if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you will after today. Accept him as your Savior. Acknowledge him, that he alone is responsible for your salvation. He had chosen each of us before the foundation of the world in Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to back up just a little bit. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4, we read this, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. There's a comma, so I need to keep going. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Now, it's not hard for me to understand that God knows who's going to be saved. That's not difficult for me to understand. Understand that he knows that. But just because he knows that doesn't mean that you won't have an opportunity to be saved. It's whosoever will call upon him will be saved. God knows how many will do that. You see, that's why the place that used to be paradise, I believe the prophet Isaiah said that that had to be expanded, because when he took all those Old Testament souls with him, that gave a space in paradise. And Isaiah, the prophet, said that hell hath enlarged itself. Of course, God was responsible for enlarging hell. And why did he have to enlarge hell? Much to his displeasure, he knows that there will be many. Straight and narrow is the way. Few there will be that will find it, but wide is the gate, and sadly, but many will go therein thereat. That's sad to him, because he went to the cross for every one of them. He died for every one of them. He gave his blood and suffered for every one of them. Doesn't make him happy to send anybody to hell. He wants everyone. He would desire for everyone to be saved. And so we're given the gift of faith so we can believe in him. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Aren't you glad today to know Jesus as your Savior? I was overwhelmed as we were singing, give thanks, of knowing that I'm so grateful that I'm saved today. I'm thankful that I don't have to worry about where I'm going when I draw my last breath. That's taken care of. I don't worry about that. I don't worry. I'm just thankful that I'm saved. I'm thankful that I have a place called heaven that I can go to, and I know that someday I will be able to see my loved ones. In Colossians chapter 2, we read it, verse 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul there teaches us that we should be thankful because, and I have a few of these things I'm going to give you here, five of them. We have sealed relationships. The moment we first asked the Lord as our Savior, our relationship with him was sealed, and we became children of God. And that fact should tell us that we have a lifetime of gratitude. If that was the only thing, we'd certainly have a lifetime of gratitude. Secondly, we can walk with him. And as believers, we enter into a relationship with Jesus that can continue to grow in Christ's likeness. And you know that's what we need to do each day, is try to be like Jesus. try to be like Jesus. I think about that sometimes when I'm standing in the supermarket and I'm back by the cheese. I'm trying to wonder why all these registers aren't open. I'm trying to remember that I'm trying to be like Christ. Christ was patient, unlike me. We have been firmly rooted in Jesus. We are securely grounded like trees with strong roots that keep us standing upright during the storms of life. Hey, I've seen a tree here recently just blown over in somebody's yard. I thought about that. How are your root system? Is your roots deep? They can be. They can be deep because storms of life happen in all of our lives. These roots grow deep, and they draw nourishment from God's word to keep us from being swayed when adversity comes. And then we are being built up in him. Salvation is the foundation of the Christian life. We have the responsibility to be built upon. We do that by reading the Bible and applying those truths to our lives. And then lastly, we can be established in our faith. In a world that's full of distorted religions and false philosophies, we can be grounded in the truth of our faith and recognize deception when we encounter it. That's part of the study that we're having in our Bible study, is deception. Deception is going to be very strong as the days approach before our Lord comes. Deception. Deception. You'd be amazed and surprised how much deception is going on. There's a lot of things, if you actually knew what our government was doing, would really spin you out of control. But I can tell you, it's a world of deception. One of them called it fake news. Because it is fake news. It's deception. If I don't tell you all the truth, I'm deceiving you. It's deception. And I'm telling you, it's only the beginning. We have only seen the beginning of deception. Just a little bit. It'll grow much worse as the day approaches. Much more deception coming. And then we have reasons for gratitude. We're usually thankful for the blessings such as good health and nice families, good family. But we certainly shouldn't overlook the spiritual blessings that we get through our Lord. For example, we were chosen by God before the foundation of the world. I read that. We were chosen by God. Isn't it interesting? Everyone here obviously was chosen, or you wouldn't be here today, would you? God seemed fit to choose you, and you're here today. That itself should say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Ooh. Nothing in me that certainly would warrant it, but I am grateful today that I'm standing in your presence and able to share the precious word of the Lord. And not only did our Lord choose us and we're here today, but we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit who guides and enables us to do the Father's will. Aren't you glad for the Holy Spirit today and his work in your life? He comes and lives here. Yes, the same Holy Spirit that hovered over the earth, over the waters. Can you imagine? And that same Holy Spirit lives in your heart. Right here. Wow, that amazes me. We've been given the gifts of the Spirit to help us accomplish what God calls us to do. Now, I know a lot of you, and I know you all have special gifts. You all have wonderful gifts. Some of you don't know what your gifts are, but I know you have a special gift. I've enjoyed some of your good cooking. That's a gift. Some of you can stuff. And that's a gift. Some of you can play. That's a gift. I don't play nothing but the radio, Murray. You play the piano. You play the organ. Yeah. It's a gift. It's a gift. And you're using your gifts. It's wonderful. You all have gifts. I couldn't go and do the thing that you're doing wherever you go to work. I couldn't go there and try to do what you're doing. We'd be in trouble, Greg, if you wanted me to saw. We would be in big trouble. Somebody would be getting a bargain and somebody would be getting shorted because you don't want me to do that because, you see, that's not my gift. That isn't my gift. I'm glad you got yours. I guess I'm using mine. I'm using my gift. I enjoy sharing God's word with you. Enjoy an intimate relationship with the Lord, which is more satisfying than any human bond. I have a friend that's even closer than a brother. That's Jesus. You ever need somebody that can help you? When it seems like your friends are all gone or they're not there at the time when you need them, Jesus looked at his disciples one day and he said, are you also going to run away? Are you also going to leave me? Fanny said, friends. Some people have no friends. Very few. I think about the story I shared at Joyce's funeral about the poor man, Lazarus. He had very few friends. Very few. You know who his friends were? The dogs that came to lick his sores. They were his friends. Some people have no friends. Have the Lord's peace in our hearts. Are loved unconditionally by God, regardless of our mistakes. I said that earlier. Aren't you glad he doesn't keep track of your mistakes? Do you keep track of your children's mistakes? No, of course not. Well, God doesn't keep track of your mistakes either. He doesn't. It's okay. We all make mistakes. You know, when our kids make mistakes, we say, it's okay. I've made a couple myself. I remember when that one day at the hospital when that little fella pushed all the buttons in the elevator and took off, and I went in there and seen all that, I said, hey! You know, God told me, you keep your mouth shut because you were just like him. You were just like him. So I had to keep my mouth shut. I got back in the elevator and stood very patiently for each floor. Experience the Lord's presence with us moment by moment, no matter where we are. Serve a God who has promised to meet all of our needs. Enjoy his protection, which is something we'll fully understand only when we see heaven. We can rely on the promise of a bodily resurrection. The Lord said, because he resurrected, our bodies also will be resurrected, according to Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15th chapter. We have a home in heaven that we will see one day, John chapter 14. We have the Bible to teach and guide us. And then lastly, here's a test of gratitude. We can evaluate our relationship with the Lord by measuring our gratitude. That's why Paul used the word overflowing or abounding to describe how great our thankfulness should be. People who have grateful hearts are the following. Positive. Talked to you about that earlier. Positive. These people are positive. I love being around people like that. They're positive. They always have nice things to say. Thankfulness keeps us focused on what the Lord is doing in our lives. And then we are aware of God's presence when we know that the Lord is actively involved in our lives and helping us through every difficulty and hardship. We can sense his presence. And then I heard this word as I was coming in today. Stevie was talking about it. Humble. Humbleness. God's people are humble. We recognize the Lord as the source of every good thing and admit that we had nothing to do with it. We had nothing to do with it. It was the Lord. It's the Lord. Thank him. I had nothing to do with it. I'm just grateful for him. It makes us humble. And then peaceful. When we place our trust in Christ and watch for his activity in our lives, we have his peace that passes all understanding. That's a peace that the world can't give you. That's a peace that a really, 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 really good doctor can't give you. Only Dr. Jesus can give you that kind of peace. That's right. That's right. That's the kind of peace we're talking about. And then you should be thoughtful of others. Gratitude makes us sensitive to the needs of those around us and eager to help them. Are you thoughtful of others? You should be. And then you should be generous. When we recognize all that God has done for us, we look for ways to pass blessings on to others. So we're generous. We're unselfish. If we're thankful, we are willing to joyfully share whatever we have. We're expressive. Seeing what God is doing in our lives motivates us to tell others and encourage them to trust in him. So it should make you expressive. You're willing to share. Somebody says, why are you smiling all the time? I'll never forget this first year of Bible college in San Antonio, Texas. I was working at a big grocery store called Handy Andy. And down at that time, that was back in the 70s, they hired a Texas state trooper. And they would put him right inside the door, and he was their security. And they had security back in the 70s. They hired him in the grocery store for security. And I'll never forget, he was one big guy. Big guy, man. He is up here. And he sat inside the door. Every time we'd come to work, he'd see us. And one night, as the store was closing, he says, I want to talk to you. He said, after the store closed, don't you run off. He says, I want to talk to you. Oh, brother. I had a 68 Plymouth Roadrunner. I should have kept it. But anyway, I checked my license. I checked my inspection. I thought, what in the world is he after? He got in, and I had to put the seat all the way back, and he just sat in there, and he said, I want to talk to you. Yeah, I said, what did I do? He said, nothing. He said, you're always smiling. You're always happy. He says, I want to know why. Oh, I said, well, I'm going to Bible college. I said, I know Jesus as my Savior. Maybe that's what makes me so happy, I suppose. And he never forgot that. And he and I were buddies. Every time he'd follow me around the store and he'd ask me questions, he invited me to his house and his family, and I had dinner with him one Sunday. I don't know if the wife couldn't cook, but we had a big box of Kentucky Fried Chicken. It's okay. He was being friendly to me. It was all right. I never forgot that. Never forgot it. And if I had it to do over, I would have pushed the issue a little more to really try to get him to accept Christ as his Savior. But I can only trust that my life was an example to him and believe that he maybe came to know Jesus because of me. But I sure would like to have known. If I had life to do over again, I would have been a little more aggressive and would have really pushed the issue a little more. But I'll never forget him. Never forget him. What a nice man. You never know if people are watching your life. They're watching. Oh, that's a good one. Friendly. Thankful people are pleasant and they're kind to others. Christians are friendly. I was friendly to them. Contagious. A grateful attitude displays the character of Jesus in our lives, and that's very appealing to those around us. Oh, isn't that something? I just shared that story. Obviously, it was very appealing to him. It's contagious. Motivated. Thankfulness prompts us to give and to share and to serve. We should be servant-hearted. We want to serve Christ by giving ourselves away to others, always trying to help people, and always just trying to give something to somebody, help them some way. And then faithful. After watching God repeatedly work in our lives, we develop great trust in him that influences our thinking. And so it makes us want to be faithful to him. And then fruitful, another good word. Instead of focusing on ourselves, we desire to be used by our Heavenly Father to achieve his purposes, being fruitful. And then lastly, joyful. Gratitude produces deep abiding joy because we know that God is working in us even through difficulties. You know, I thought back at that time, my first year, I missed my girlfriend dearly, and I didn't think I was as happy as I was. But he obviously saw happiness when I even didn't think I was so happy because I was missing my girlfriend. But when Jesus is living inside, you can't help it. Some of that light starts to shine through. And obviously that light was shining through, even when I didn't even realize it. The light of Jesus was still shining through. And Lord, I hope wherever he is, that he gave his heart to you. That would be wonderful, wonderful. Y'all can come up here now. We're going to do our morning service at the end. Thankfulness is a choice. If it's lacking in you, decide to make a change. Ask him to give you a grateful heart, and he will. And then as we live, his characteristics of goodness, love, kindness, and generosity will pour through us until we are truly overflowing with gratitude. Wow. Wonderful. Whew. I will take prayer requests.